Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. This is day 5 in a 6-part series about all the ins and outs of narcissistic personality disorder. Yesterday, I talked about narcissistic mothers and the reality, tragic as it may seem, that we never really had a mother and a father. We had a narcissist wearing a mother's suit. And if our father was around, he was her puppet. That is a hard thing for children to come to terms with, but it is the truth. Today, I will finish discussing the NPD mother and then talk specifically about the relationships her daughters have with her. Relationships that are less than warm and satisfying, relationships that are confusing and abusive, painful relationships that never end unless we decide to end them. I will not be taking any callers today because I'd like to finish sharing the rest of the information about this topic with you. Tomorrow, Tuesday, May 7th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will open the show to callers. So if you have any questions, be sure to tune in then and participate. I would love to hear what you have to say. I left off yesterday talking about the backhanded insults NPD mothers deliver to their children. Now I will talk about a classic trait of the narcissistic mother: her obsession with physical vanity. Not all mothers with NPD have this trait. Mine does, yours may not. When I was a child, I remember my mother always looking well put together with her crisply pressed apron, her just-so hairdo, and her manicured long nails. She never left the house without lipstick. These women never let anyone see them looking less than their very best. Aging may be a problem for them. They may become addicted to plastic surgery or dress inappropriately for their age. My mother never resorted to those things. It has always been about her hair. Her hairdo was and still is her crowning glory. She never fails to tell me about everyone admiring her hair. Truthfully, I could care less. Narcissistic mothers are typically obsessed with weight issues. They hate being fat and criticize anyone who is. Both of my parents are disgusted by overweight people. They talk about it all the time. They never fail to point out the fat people wherever they are, make comments to each other about them, and then repeat it to my sisters and I when they talk to us on the telephone. It's really bizarre and insulting. Another vanity issue for these mothers is never letting anyone see them sick, injured, or incapacitated. My 85-year-old mother cannot walk without holding on to someone and has fallen several times. The doctor said that the next fall could easily kill her or paralyze her. Still, she refuses to use a walker, cane, or sit in a wheelchair. She claims she walks fine. She's in constant pain from rheumatoid arthritis and nerve pain shooting into her head. Her suffering is apparent whenever my sisters and I see her, but the moment she leaves home, she erases all traces of suffering from her face. No one knows anything is wrong with her. We can't figure out how she does that. Narcissistic mothers are phony, and they are liars. They lie even when telling the truth would be easier, but they are very careful to lie in ways that they can cover up if necessary. They lie to create conflicts within their families. They lie to make their children look worse or to make themselves look better. They lie to make their children feel crazy or undermine the children's credibility. They lie about what they do and about things that happened in the past. These mothers blame everyone else for everything. They wreak havoc in their families and never take responsibility for doing it. They'll abuse their children and then blame the children for making them do it. They'll get upset about something that has nothing to do with their children and then blame their children for stressing them out. When something goes wrong in their children's lives, she will not lend a compassionate or sympathetic ear. Oh, no, quite the contrary. She will compound their anguish by blaming them for causing it to happen. Sometimes she will even take the other person's side just to let her children know that they are never right. These mothers never believe they are wrong and will never apologize. Well, I shouldn't say never. They will say it, but it is never an admission of guilt or responsibility. They may say something like, I'm sorry if you took what I said the wrong way, or forgive me if I did anything wrong, or sorry if I made you feel upset, or I'm sorry if you upset me and I said things I didn't mean. She may also say something like, I guess I might have done something wrong, or maybe I did something wrong, but, or it seems as if I had done something wrong. Another thing she does, she will never support the ingenuity of her children. Their insights and ideas are brushed off, met with negativity or met with condescension. She'll say, that will never work, or you think too much. Stop coming up with all these crazy ideas, or you never follow through with anything and you fail when you do. Or she may act nonchalant as if she couldn't be bothered listening to such trivial nonsense and say, you don't say, or, uh-huh. Narcissistic mothers are harsh criticizers, yet they are extremely sensitive to any form of criticism directed at them, even the slightest, and they are very defensive. If you criticize her or defy her in any way, even just asking her to treat you better, she will explode into narcissistic rage. Picture Reagan, you know, the possessed child in the movie The Exorcist. Remember when the priest was trying to exorcise the devil out of her? She spewed vile insults and brought up everything she knew would hurt and weaken him. Now you have a pretty clear picture of what a mother in the midst of narcissistic rage looks like. But she doesn't have to outwardly rage to let her children know how angry she is. She has worked a lifetime to train her children to fear her. She may abuse one child in front of the others, so the others know not to cross her. Sometimes she gives a look that tells the child they will pay dearly for what they did. She also uses the silent treatment to get her point across. These deniable forms of rage are just temporary gestures. She's waiting for the right time and place to really let them have it without being witnessed. Everything she does is done in a way that is deniable. A common tactic used by narcissists, especially narcissistic mothers, is called parentification. That is essentially a tactic that reverses the parent-child roles. Instead of the mother taking care of the child and their responsibilities at home, the child is expected to take care of the mother, the household, and often their siblings. The emotional and physical needs of the mother come before everyone and everything else, as they always do. And the parentified child is never entitled to have his own needs. He is only there to cater to his mother's whims. As a result of the mother's immaturity and the neglect of the child's fundamental needs, he loses his right to his entire childhood. Narcissistic mothers in general exploit and use their children in any way they see fit. They make agreements with their children that they have no intention of upholding. Some mothers are more obvious about the way they do it than others. Many will sell their children out if necessary to save their own skin. At the extreme end, there have been cases of mothers actually stealing their adult child's identity. Narcissistic mothers do not have the natural instinct other mothers have to protect their children before themselves. They are their primary concern. A mother in an abusive relationship may sacrifice her child to the abuser so the child gets the punishment that would have been hers. She may fail to protect her child by allowing bad things to happen to him. A mother may know that her child is being sexually abused and accuse him of lying when he tells her that it's happening. She may encourage one sibling to hurt another. Or, as my mother did, these mothers simply will not advocate in the child's behalf. My mother blamed this on her being too thin-skinned. Some narcissistic mothers will neglect their children's physical or medical needs. They may not buy them new clothes or make them buy their own from very young ages. They may restrict the food they can eat or make them feel guilty for eating it. They may tell a sick or injured child to grin and bear it because their infirmity might be a burden on her. They may refuse to get the child medical or dental care for something they claim the child brought on himself. One common trait of all those with NPD is jealousy. The narcissistic mother is no exception. She is envious of others and believes that others are envious of her. She is envious of the successes or material things that others have, and she does not. After all, she is superior to others. She is resentful because she believes that she is more deserving of these things. When her children share their successes, the mother will do everything in her power to dampen the child's spirit, devalue their accomplishments, or outright steal it from them. I have heard about narcissistic mothers who show up to their daughters' weddings dressed in white to steal the show. Anyone who does not serve the NPD mother's needs, please her, or praise her is believed to be motivated by envy. My mother enjoys believing that everyone envies her. She blames things that others do, things that feel hurtful to her, on the fact that the other person is just jealous of her. She blamed all my relational problems with others on the fact that they were just jealous of me. That is because I was her golden child. Maternal narcissists assign roles to each of their children. These roles tend to fuel sibling rivalry. If they have only one child, that child will play all the roles. The roles she assigns are golden child, scapegoat, and the lost child. I also talk about these roles in episode 3, Narcissistic Personality Disorder, the Family Portrait. The golden child is the narcissistic mother's favorite. The mother showers this child with attention and adoration, and she expects that everyone else in the family do it too. The mother sees the child as a reflection of her perfect self. As long as this child does what the mother wants, he or she is given privileges and gifts that the other children in the family do not receive. This child becomes enmeshed with the mother and grows up either feeling highly entitled or suffering from adult relationship codependency, as I did. There may be one or more children who are assigned the scapegoat role. These children are denied their normal needs and emotions. She typically assigns hurtful labels to these children. One of my sisters was frequently called dumb ox, and the other was frequently called oversensitive. In the mother's eyes, the scapegoat can never do anything right. She constantly criticizes the way they dress and how they wear their hair. They are always being called on the carpet for embarrassing her, and they are to blame for everything that goes wrong in the family. These children believe they are losers and will live their life that way. The lost child is the forgotten one, the neglected one. This child doesn't receive any praise from the mother. In fact, the mother doesn't recognize this child at all. It's as if they don't exist. The mother is not the least bit interested in or aware of this child's needs. She has absolutely no use for this child. Because the mother makes no attempt to treat this child as if they have any value, the child feels invisible, unlovable, and unworthy for the rest of her life. Narcissistic mothers cannot face the fact that they are less than perfect, so they use a tactic known as projection. This is a way to deny the traits and behaviors they don't like about themselves and project them onto their children. The children often believe what is projected on them is true, and therefore will accept the blame. Sometimes the projection is relative, sometimes it is not. If the mother wants to lose weight, she may tell her child that they are fat. If the mother knows she is wrong about something, she will make the child feel as if they are wrong. If the mother is embarrassed, she will try to embarrass the child. If she is angry at the child, she will ask the child why they are so angry with her. This is very confusing and crazy-making. The child can never redeem himself. Well, we're about halfway through the show, so I'm going to take a brief break. I will continue this discussion immediately following the one-minute musical interlude featuring the band I Love Shadows' song, There's a Better Way. Enjoy, stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Discussion, Narcissistic Personality Disorder, Mothers and Daughters. Narcissistic mothers never do anything out of generosity. She always has an agenda. There are always strings attached. They believe that doing something nice for their children gives them license to abuse their children at will. My advice: take nothing from your narcissistic mother unless you want to be beholden to her for the rest of your life. That shouldn't be a great loss for you because narcissistic mothers are notoriously bad gift givers, if they give gifts at all. They really don't want to be bothered having to pick something out for you, and they may blame it on the fact that they simply do not know what you like. They may ask you what you want and then get you something entirely different. They may give you hand-me-downs or give you an older version of something they have so they can get a newer one. They may buy you something and get themselves the exact same thing. They may offer to take you out to dinner, ask you where you want to go, and then say they don't like it there, that they want to go to their favorite restaurant. My mother does this all the time. When my mother gives gifts or even just sends a card, she wants immediate recognition from the recipient. She doesn't really want to give the gift or send the card. She just wants to be recognized for her generosity and thanked. She is highly insulted if she doesn't get a response within days of sending it. Contrary as it seems, she was always volunteering to help others. But that is typical behavior for these women. The narcissistic mother can be charitable, but it is always on her terms. My mother will always root for the underdog in every situation as long as it keeps her in a good light. But the minute she feels she is being taken for granted of, she will haughtily withdraw her caring. She turns her compassion on and off at will. Narcissistic mothers can also be kind, which is something her children find very confusing. In their eyes, she is doing it to redeem herself for all the abuse she has previously doled out. Children want to believe that their mother could change, but she cannot. She is not motivated by kindness, and she will never change. Her love is purely conditional and only present when her children obey her or if there is some sort of benefit for her being that way. There is no predictability or consistency. Her children are always one word away from everything blowing up in their face. The narcissistic mother resents any autonomy her children have because that means less attention on her and less control for her. She will ridicule them for their independence when they assert it by saying something like, "Is that right, Miss Smarty Pants?" or, "If you're old enough to do A, then I think you are old enough to start doing B for yourself." She does not want them to grow up, pull away from her, and as a result, diminish her narcissistic supply. Many narcissistic mothers are inappropriately sexual. They are either flirty or prudish, either highly restrictive of any display of sexuality from their daughters, or highly exploitive of it. These mothers also resent the relationships her children have with their partners, and she only likes or tolerates these partners if they fuss over her or if they have traits that she can brag about to others. My mother was brutal when it came to this. She called my husband a pedophile because he bathed our daughter. She called one of my brother-in-laws before my sister married him gay because he had no hair on his chest and he was willing to honor my sister's desire to wait until marriage to have sex. She called my other brother-in-law a wife beater. My sister had taken a very bad fall and was badly bruised. She didn't want to upset my mother by telling her about it. And my mother never asked her about what she saw. She just called her husband a wife beater. And may I mention that we have all three of our husbands are the salt of the earth. They're great guys. They may also interfere with the way their grandchildren are raised. I raised my children vegetarian, and she believed they should eat chicken soup. I guess that's a Jewish mother for you. I'm pretty sure she gave it to them when I wasn't around, too. Taking everything I have discussed into consideration, it's no wonder you always felt and continue to feel upset anytime you are around your mother. Even if you don't know exactly why that happens, you do know that something is definitely wrong. You know that you spent your entire life trying to be what your mother wanted you to be, and still never felt good enough. Maybe you feel like something is wrong with you because you can't understand what is going on, and she never seems blameworthy. Believe me when I tell you that you are not crazy and you are not imagining something that is not there. Your mother is a horrendous abuser. She has no ability to empathize. That is why you feel so bad whenever you connect with her. Your mother suffers from a severe, incurable personality disorder that makes her manipulative, self-absorbed, cold, deceitful, and exploitive. No one seems to understand the depth of the abuse when you try to explain it to them. How many times has a friend responded to your frustration with, "I know, my mother can be like that too," or, "Well, you know, she's just getting older and older people act that way," or, "Your mother is so nice, she doesn't really mean to hurt you." They just can't see it because they have never experienced this type of abuse and they don't understand it. The relationships children have with their narcissistic mothers are confusing and painful. They never know quite what is wrong unless they get therapy or begin researching the symptoms. More often than not, it is the frustrated daughters of narcissistic mothers that end up searching out information to help explain the pain and insanity they feel. Children model themselves after the same-sex parent, and daughters of narcissistic mothers have a very poor role model to follow. Not only that, because of the skewed messages these daughters get from their narcissistic mothers, they grow up with many problems other women don't generally have. Poor self-images. Overachievers always trying to prove that they are good enough. And they grow up lacking love. The psychological damage done to them by their mothers is immense. They never felt loved by their mother, and they never felt like individuals. They never felt like they could grow up and separate from their mother the same way their friends could. The daughter who dares to try pulling away is mercilessly criticized. She is ridiculed and ostracized. All semblance of love is withdrawn by the mother. All attempts to separate from her mother are sabotaged by her mother in an attempt to prevent it from happening. The narcissistic mother tries to keep a hypnotic hold over her daughters. She psychologically enmeshes with them. Daughters of narcissistic mothers are not seen as individuals, but rather extensions of their mothers. Adult daughters still feel like they are little girls because that's how their mothers continue to treat them. Narcissistic mothers are often envious of their daughters and competitive with them, especially when these girls become attractive to the opposite sex. These mothers will try to undermine their daughter's self-confidence and poison their budding feminine identity. Narcissistic mothers are never happy or satisfied with their daughters or with anything their daughters do. They may make comments about their daughter's weight gain or compare them with the slim figures of their sisters or friends to make them feel bad. This may cause the daughters to become overweight or, on the other hand, terrified of gaining a few pounds. They may become bulimic or anorexic as a result of their mother's constant put-downs and weight obsession. Most daughters of NPD mothers will survive the years of cruelty and abuse, though they usually do not fare well. Survival meant learning to internalize their feelings and deny their individuality. After being unable to freely express their feelings and express who they are in a healthy way, they become at great risk for substance abuse or inappropriate sexuality. They may rebel in dangerous ways or become runaways. Deep within adult daughters of NPD mothers are feelings of being undeserving. They have difficulty asserting themselves or being successful because they feel undeserving of good things. They typically have difficulty forming relationships because they don't believe they deserve them. the ones they form are often dysfunctional and or abusive. Some end up in relationships with narcissistic men who have similar traits to their mother because they have difficulty setting boundaries with others, trusting others, and they fear abandonment. They also fear anger and aggression, therefore become pleasers to avoid being on the receiving end of it. Daughters of narcissistic mothers have trouble being their authentic selves because they don't know who their authentic selves are. Their power and self-esteem was stolen by mothers who brainwashed them into believing that they are not acceptable for who they are or the way they are. They feel inherently flawed and act out accordingly through self-sabotage or by constantly striving for unachievable perfection. Daughters of narcissistic mothers fear growing up and turning out like their mothers, and they worry about their ability to be good mothers to their own children. They are afraid to be happy. They are afraid to heal the only identity they know. They have difficulty letting go of their past because their past defines them. Who will they be without the familiarity of their pain? I have so much more to share, but we are out of time for today, and I still want to talk about the healing process for daughters of narcissistic mothers. So tomorrow is the last show. Tune in tomorrow as I discuss that and finish this series. I will then open up the rest of the show to your comments and questions. I do hope you will call in and share your point of view. If you have any comments about today's show or any other show, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Stop by my website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. And please sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows, so you can leave comments for me there as well. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get this show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.